This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Next Tuesday is Election Day in Washtenaw County. There is only one countywide issue to be decided. The Washtenaw Intermediate School District is asking voter approval of a $53 million, $295,000 bond issue. If voters agree, the money generated from the sale of the bonds would fund significant changes to High Point School in Ann Arbor. This is a school operated by the WISD, serving those with disabilities that come from all of the school districts in Washtenaw County. We wanted to make sure you knew all about the intricacies of the ballot issue, but also to get a better perspective on High Point School itself and the students it serves. Joining me live in studio today is WISD Superintendent Scott Menzel, and thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for this opportunity, David.
I don't know that many of us have gone through or know a whole lot about High Point School. So what is the mission of High Point?
So High Point School serves students with disabilities ranging in age from 3 to 26. They are the students with more significant and severe disabilities. In many cases, they've got severe and multiple impairments. And it has been in operation since 1975. But the nature of the disabilities of the students that we serve in that facility have shifted over time.
So what is the range of those disabilities?
So we have students that are severely medically fragile, so maybe breathing tubes, trachs. They're in wheelchairs. Many are nonverbal. We've got a lot of supports that are required to ensure that we can meet the educational needs of these students. And because of the broad age range, we've got a lot of different kinds of staffing needs as well.
You talk about providing services based on a wide range of disabilities that require specific attentions. What range of services do you offer?
So we have, in addition to the classroom teacher and teacher assistants that are there to support the students throughout the day, we have speech and language pathologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists. There are school nurses in the building to assist with the medications that are required. So you've got a wide variety of support staff as well.
And again, these are students that can't be mainstreamed into the regular school districts. They require too much attention, right?
Right. So essentially, we work hard to ensure that every student is educated in their home district as far as possible. In the case of the students at High Point, we refer to these students as low incident but high cost. So it's very expensive if you have one student with these kinds of significant disabilities that require a lot more staffing and attention to do it in a district where you only have one. So we have the High Point opportunity, but we also believe it's important for our students with disabilities to be educated with typically developing peers, which is why Honey Creek Community School, which is a K-8 charter, is located in the facility as well, so that there are opportunities for our students with disabilities to be educated in an environment where they're with their typically developing peers.
How many students are being served at High Point on an annual basis?
So the High Point students themselves this past year, about 70 students, and that can vary based on the number of students we have in the county that require the intensive services. There are another 245 K-8 students through Honey Creek and another 30 roughly that are in the building through Gretchen's House.
So we have these two educational components working in concert with one another. Paint me a word picture, if you don't mind, of the facilities as it stands today at High Point.
So the building, when it was designed in 1975, was probably architecturally innovative and creative, but it's three honeycomb-shaped pods, and it's a maze of corridors, a labyrinth, if you will, where the hallways are narrow. You do not have fire suppression, so there are 32 or so external exits, which from a school safety perspective is problematic. In 2019, the number of doors that are propped open, people coming in and out that we don't know who might be in the building.
Does it even meet ADA standards at this point?
At this point, we have to comply with minimal ADA standards, but functionally, there are a lot of challenges. There are some hallways where you can't have two wheelchairs passing each other. There's just simply not enough room.
Beyond the physical barriers that are posed by the facility at this point, is that a barrier to service and learning as a result?
So the classroom space itself is unique in that classrooms range in size from 600 square feet to maybe 750 or 800 square feet, and none of them are uniformly shaped because it's a honeycomb-shaped design. So it's a waste of space in many respects. You can't set up the room so that it's functional. And just imagine a pretty small classroom where you have 5 to 9 wheelchairs plus the teacher and multiple assistants in the classroom at the same time. There's virtually no room to move around by the time you account for all of the equipment, the students, the teaching staff. And so what we're proposing is to create create classroom space that is about 1,000 square foot per classroom. They're uniform in size with adequate storage in order to be able to ensure that the actual education program is delivered without all of these other obstacles.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Washtenaw Intermediate School District Superintendent Scott Menzel about next Tuesday's ballot issue. It is the only countywide proposal to be decided. So I want to take a moment here, and I want to read the ballot language so folks can understand exactly what they're doing. Shall Washtenaw Intermediate School District, Michigan, borrow the sum of not to exceed $53,295,000 and issue its general obligation unlimited tax bonds, therefore, for the purpose of erecting, furnishing, and equipping a new High Point school as an addition to the pool and gymnasium portions of the existing building, remodeling, equipping, and re-equipping, and furnishing and refurnishing the pool and gymnasium portions of the existing building, purchasing and installing information technology systems, equipment, and software, and preparing, developing, improving, and equipping playgrounds at the site. So how would all of that ultimately change the daily life of students?
So let's start on the exterior of the building. Right now, when our students are dropped off in the morning, there is no covered drop-off. So if you imagine students in wheelchairs being unloaded from buses, first, that doesn't happen quickly. If it's raining, if it's snowing, if you have thunder and lightning outside, they're exposed to the elements. We'll be creating a new covered drop-off place for parking so that our students in wheelchairs are able to get in the facility without being exposed to the elements in quite the same way. We'll create wayfinding within the building so that the academic portions of the facility are in classroom spaces where it's easy to find. Instead of having to leave breadcrumbs to find your way back to the entrance,
right,
there'll be a single point of entrance. We'll be able to manage the flow of individuals into the building, and we'll also be able to ensure the facility is fire suppressed and that we've accounted for both the safety and well-being of our students, but we've ensured that the equipment, the technology, all the other things are up to date in order to meet the needs.
In the years that you've been serving as superintendent of the WISD, have you had opportunity to spend some time in the building?
I have. Absolutely. Every year I've been in the building, and I marvel at what staff are able to do with the deficits that are in the building. And I also recognize that there comes a point in time when a facility has served its useful life. And we haven't gone to the voters for a capital bond issue for 30 years at WISD. So we're at the point where we would be throwing good money after bad in terms of the repairs that are required in the facility. And so that's why we landed on the decision to really do a major renovation in this facility in order to meet the needs of the kids for the next 40 years.
I haven't had opportunity to be at High Point at any point, but I have had occasion to spend some time in other facilities that are serving disabled students, Family Circle to name one. And fact of the matter is, when you start to engage and experience and be around these kids, there is a high level of enthusiasm and spirit. They're so glad to be there. Now, in working with concert with the kids at Honey Creek, is everybody becoming somewhat better engaged and involved as a result?
That is actually what is happening, and it's exciting to hear the students tell their story. We had a few Honey Creek students participate in a video project at the end of the school year where they talked about their experiences. Some indicated that when they got to Honey Creek, they were afraid of kids in wheelchairs. And what they've learned over time is that they're people. They're just like us. They have interests, desires. They enjoy reading. They enjoy cooking. They enjoy getting outdoors. And so building those relationships breaks down barriers and helps everyone understand that each individual person has value and that we as a society are enriched by celebrating the diversity in our community.
Allow me to play devil's advocate for a moment. Some people are going to look at this ballot issue and say, okay, High Point serves a relatively small number of students. It's $53 million bond issue, a tax that will be paid over a period of 10 years. Is that the investment that is actually needed? Do I need to make that kind of investment as a resident?
And the answer, I would say, is if you value our people with disabilities and believe that they should have educational facilities that are designed to meet their needs, then this is a really good investment. At 0.37 mils, the impact on the average taxpayer is somewhere between $37 and $55 per year in order to be able to do this. Most school bond proposals are for 30 years. This will be paid off in 10. And I think if you want to talk about the return on investment, the ISD having not gone to the voters for 30 years, we take pride in ensuring that we maintain facilities and are good stewards of public resources.
Trust me on this. I went looking, but I found no formal opposition to this ballot proposal. However, it is an August election. This is the only measure on the ballot. Turnout tends to be very low in these kinds of elections. What are you looking at? Are you afraid of turnout?
Well, I'm concerned. We want to get the word out, which is why I'm grateful that you're airing this today. We've had a number of news articles in different media outlets, and we do have people that are communicating with their friends and family, and we're using quite a bit of social media. But turnout is an issue, and so we're working hard to get the message out to people. This is very important.
And what of a plan B? What if this measure should fail?
If the measure fails, we still have to address the heating and cooling units. We have to address leaky roofs. We have authorization under state statute to bond for up to $19 million without a vote of the people. The repayment of those bonds comes from the special education operating funds, which means we have less resources available to reimburse our local districts for providing mandatory special ed services. They have to provide the services, but now they're going to be backfilling that shortfall with their general fund dollars. So we will be able to take care of some core infrastructure needs. We will not be able to design the facility in the way that it needs to be for the students for the next 40 years.
And you're saying there's potential impacts for the nine districts
Absolutely.
In Washtenaw County.
Without a doubt.
Well, I appreciate your time today, and you and I will talk again next Wednesday morning once all the votes are counted and the results are in.
I hope we'll be celebrating good news, David.
Thank you very much again. That is Washtenaw Intermediate School District Superintendent Scott Menzel discussing the bond request that will be decided by Washtenaw County voters on Tuesday, August 6th. That is next Tuesday. Again, join us Wednesday morning for all of your election results and reaction. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station.